Хөрхөн охид trap songs and trap songs and trap songs. Trap songs and trap don't some trap don't some trap. Түүний сонсдог хөгжим дур булаа. Даадс дуутан дур булаа мөрөлдөө.
Hey, everybody, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. I'm here with Greg Romero Wilson.
Hey, look at us. You made the transition. It only took you a year, but it happened.
Of course.
Well, and that's the thing. I never pressured it because I know you called me the Greg Wilson for over a decade. At least, probably 15 years, you know, so, you know, I know that was a tough transition for you.
Yeah.
You know, it was a tough transition for me, you know, even on New Year's Eve, I went to the theater that I was headlining and they had right up there, you know, Comedy Extravaganza with the Greg Wilson, because it's a club that I've worked with, you know, for over a decade and, you know, they were the ones that booked it. And,
well, followed by a 6-hour intermission during the show.
Oh, God, that was the worst. They fucking ruined it with that shit.
Also, Ween Dog is here.
What's up, dude?
And we got Sarah McMahon calling in.
Awesome.
It's gonna be a good show. And then as well as Jared Gooden, who is also an awesome fighter. I have had a crazy. First of all, I want to thank our sponsor, Speedweed. Listen, people, marijuana is legal in California, and there's no reason you have to go to a dispensary to get it. You go to a dispensary, you can get a DUI, but you could fuck up your car. You get out of it. It's a whole process. Especially they're packed now. It's like they're like Walmart on Black Fridays now. It's just it's insane these dispensaries. But get it delivered to you. Have it. Plus there's the hot bud tenders there. They're like, hey, try this, try that. If you know you're stoned off your ass, and the cops pull you over. It's a pain in the ass. But Speedweed has made that problem so much easier because they will deliver to you everything from marijuana to CBD to edibles to THC sex lube. They have macaroons. They have anything you need. They have CBD coffee and drinks, and it's just awesome what they have. Go to speedweed.com. Mention Roasted. You get $10 off orders $100 or more. Speedweed.com. I highly recommend it. They're awesome. I've had a crazy last couple days. First of all, I've been spending a lot of time with the baby.
Which is great.
Yeah, I love that. And we're watching a lot of cartoons, and I'm actually learning from the cartoon. You know, you forget when you're younger, you forget that they have lessons to all of them.
Right, certainly, absolutely.
And so, like, I was watching Muppet Babies, and which is one of my favorites. And Kermit, you know, wanted to be a leader, but he didn't want to ask for help. So he kept getting himself in trouble, blah, blah. And then finally he asked, like, Miss Piggy and Gonzo for help, and he was like upset about it. And they're like, no, that makes you a better leader is when you ask for help. I was like, oh. So that day I asked like 6 people for help, and they all said no. They said, you're 40 years
you
old.
You took that lesson and just overstretched it immediately.
No, I was like 0 for 6. Nobody was like, everyone's like, I was sick.
That's the lesson they don't tell you, is that a lot of people are going to turn you down.
Yeah. My dad, I had a stomach ache, and I'm like, Dad, could you come over with some medicine? He's like, no, I'm busy right now. You go to the store, get it yourself. I was like, I got the baby with me. It's a whole pro. But I did actually, I am learning the lessons. Whether or not they're actually working or not is a whole different thing.
Yes.
So that was that. And then
can I tell you that is my biggest fear about having children is you lose control of the programming on your own television. All my friends, once they had kids, you walk in their house, it's all Blue's Clues, it's all this, you know, all these, and I'm like, where's the sports shows?
Yeah.
Who's got, you know, like you lose, it all becomes about what they, about basically just entertaining them and keeping them quiet, and I understand that, but I want to watch NFL Live, God damn it, I don't know, it's tough.
Well, luckily they haven't gotten, my baby hasn't gotten to the point where she wants to watch the same thing over and over again.
It's coming, worse. It's coming.
When it's the same episode.
Yeah. They watch it over and I remember being that way as a kid. Do you remember that? Being able to watch the same thing over and over and over again? It didn't bother me at all.
No. It's crazy. So then Friday, I'm friends with Devin Sawa. I know Devin Sawa, he was a huge actor back in the 80s and 90s. Still a very big actor, a big MMA fan, nice guy. So I'm working on a project with him and he's like, "Hey, you want to go to Macaulay Culkin's house because Macaulay Culkin is he's spearheading the project." So I'm like, sure. So Friday afternoon, I go to Macaulay Culkin's house.
It's a nice house?
Yeah, it's a nice house, but I think it's like one of many houses he owns.
Okay.
And he was like the nicest guy.
Oh, yeah,
like,
he's
he
cool.
was funny as hell.
Yeah.
I mean, he was wearing pajamas. It was like 2 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
A couple of things that were a little out there. In the middle of talking, he comes over with like a bag. And he's like, pick something. And, I like went in the bag and picked up like a rubber duck. And he's like, keep it. So he gave me like this little rubber ducky thing, which was pretty awesome.
Did you check the inside for cocaine yet?
No, dude. He's like, he looks great. He's super funny. And
well, that's like, doesn't he? I mean, like, he did that commercial, and that's the first time I've seen him with cut hair since he was like a kid.
Yeah.
Like, he became an adult and basically turned into a, you know, I don't know, like eccentric, you know, when you don't have to work necessarily, and so it's just long hair and beards and pajamas, and that's kind of the way he's been for the last 20 years or so.
Right. No, and that's the thing, and that guy. But I told him that. I'm like, my wife loves your commercial. I think that's how she knows you. Like, he's like, what? And so, and then, but I went to his house and he had like a bunch of like old wrestling. He's a huge wrestling fan.
Mm-hmm.
And he had this little Rick Martel figure from like Strikeforce, which was like, and I was like, is that Rick Martel, the model? And he's like, I knew that. Like, I'm one of like a few people that probably would.
That have recognized in his home.
And And he's like, oh, wow. He's like, me and my brother love Strikeforce, but nobody wanted to be Tito Santana. We both wanted to be Rick Martel. And then when he found out I was a comedian, he's like, I've been working on a. He's like, do you have any good chicken cross the road jokes? Which I actually do have a decent one.
I have one decent one too.
I wrote recently, I said, but you know, in 10 years, this is going to be comedy. Someone's going to be like, why did the chicken cross the road? And someone's going to be like, excuse me, I'm a vegan. I don't find jokes about chickens funny. You know, like,
right.
Seeing a comedy. And he's like, I got one. He goes, why did the chicken cross the road? And I said, why? And he goes, to get to your house. I go, okay. And he goes, knock, knock. I go, who's there? He goes, the chicken. I was like, that's pretty good. Actually, like, came back around. I thought that was a good joke. You don't think it's a good joke?
It was a punchline, dude.
What?
Is that the punchline?
The punchline's a chicken. He went to your house. Knock, knock. Who's there? The chicken. Like,
yikes.
He crossed the road.
I mean, I guess if you're in the room with Macaulay Culkin, you laugh.
Yeah. I thought it was funny. I thought it was a good joke.
Listen, he's not here now. You don't have to keep sucking his dick, okay?
I thought it was a good fucking joke.
It's not a good joke.
It is, too.
It's a terrible, not funny joke.
No, I think
here's a good one.
Yes.
Why did the pervert cross the road?
This is about the chicken.
His dick was stuck in the chicken.
That's not your joke. I heard that before.
No, that's all of them are street jokes.
No, he actually made the other one up.
He combined two street jokes.
So he made the joke up. The other one you heard, you didn't write that one.
Of course not. He didn't write the other one.
He did. He wrote two street jokes and put them together. He wrote the jokes.
Okay.
He did.
All right. Everyone weigh in on that.
All right. So.
You really are in love with him now.
No, I'm not. First of all, he's a cool dude. I had a good time hanging
with
him.
When you sucked his dick, was it a big dick?
I didn't suck his dick. Okay.
Did you polish his balls?
You're just jealous because you weren't.
I'm not jealous. It's just surprising to see you be all fanboyed out right now.
I'm not fanboyed out. I thought he was a cool guy. I'm telling you, I had a good time hanging with him.
Guy writes great jokes.
So anyway, so that was Friday, and then you know, I've been changing a lot of diapers, right? Obviously,
yeah.
My goal was to not poop shame my daughter. Like, I want to make sure this is the most fun time she has. You know, I tickle her, I blow on her stomach, we have a good time. But now I think she likes it too much, where she keeps pooping on me because she knows that we're just gonna have fun when I change her. Like, every 3 seconds she's pooping on me.
Yeah, gotta be careful, dude, because that's what makes girls, you know, sort of lead towards scat porn. Is what?
Wow. Wow.
Wait,
already we...
We gotta think about it, dude.
It doesn't, you moron. Nobody remembers anything from that age. How old were you? What's your earliest memory, you dumb fuck?
Probably like 5 years ago.
Thank you, you dumb shit. That doesn't lead anybody to scat, you sick motherfucker. We're talking about his baby.
I don't even know what scat porn is.
You don't want to. You don't need to. Just go on. Go on with your story.
Anyway, so... Saturday, I had an audition.
You're an idiot.
I had an audition for me and the baby for a truck commercial. And they wanted to show intimacy with the baby. Like, I guess it was like, I'm sitting there, it was like, you know, a couple other people with their babies, a black guy with his baby, and an Asian guy. So I don't know which way they're going with this, but.
They don't either, obviously. Yeah,
right. So it was our turn. So we go there, we go in front of the camera, and they're like, okay, just show you and the baby having a good time. And I think she's more into improv because she pooped on me during the audition.
serious?
Yeah. Like, so that was that.
Well, maybe I was wrong. There's that scat point.
But she booked it. I didn't. So, no kidding. So yeah. So that was that. And then I was driving on Friday. I had a show in like San Bernardino at some like VFW, some crazy show. And the Laugh Factory calls me up like, can you get to Long Beach? So I turn around. I got gas, and somebody came up to my car. A black gentleman said, "Hey, listen, you know, I don't do this, but I got stuck, and I have no gas. I'm with my girlfriend. We need to get back to you know, Burbank or something. I just need a couple dollars. So I gave him $10. And then I was like, he's like, oh, thank you, thank you. I'm like, hey, follow me on Instagram, you know? And then I'm like, what am I doing?
What are you doing? That's all I can think right now. The fuck are you doing? First of all, that's the biggest scam in the world. Talk about he didn't write it.
Yeah.
That's a street joke. Oh, I'm out of gas. I just need $10 to get to Burbank. That's number one, top of the list with a bullet scam. Okay, so that's number one. Then, okay, maybe you do feel sorry for him. You give him tops. $3.
Yeah.
And that's generous. That's
a gallon of gas, dude.
Yeah. Like, that's a gallon of gas. There you go. Get from here to wherever. But $10?
I don't know.
Boy, what are you? Jesus.
It was Macaulay Culkin day.
Right. Exactly. You're all high on Mac. You're on the Mac attack. You're all...
So then.
That Mac. Boy, what a great joke writer. Here's $10.
So then, right? So then Saturday, I coach wrestling. We had like, because of the teacher strike, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I coach on the weekends. You know, normally I get like four or five kids. These kids have been home for like a week. So like 15 kids were like, hey, parents were like, we want to send our kids to you. I guess they want to get them out of the house. They're probably driving the parents crazy because they've been home all week because of the teacher strike.
Right.
You know, so I had all these kids. So I had to coach over the weekend. And Brian Swinehart's getting ready for a wrestling tournament.
Oh, so wait a minute. So you did a lot of private coaching over the weekend.
Yeah, I do private. I usually have like a 12.
Well, that's good. So you probably made some good money doing that.
Decent
over the
money,
weekend.
Yeah. And not great money, but like, you know.
A little change.
More money than 10 times than what I make at a LA
giving
Army.
10 times what you gave to the homeless guy who was lying to you about having to get
more
to
than that. But yeah. So that was cool. It's funny because I was actually, I teach the kids on a single leg takedown. You want to have your hand when you pick up the leg over your heart, like the Pledge of Allegiance, right? Mm. So that's what I actually watch from Henry Cejudo wrestling videos, right? So then the kid puts his hand down. And the other kid goes, you're a terrible American. And that was kind of funny. And I was like, yeah, you're being a communist right now. So it was good times had by
that's
all.
Fun.
Saturday, I went to a concert, right? It was a throwback R&B concert.
Oh, yeah.
So
I almost bought tickets to that one, too.
First of all.
But we kind of just went to that exact same show. Like, four of those same acts were at this other one, so it's kind
of
like...
A lot of issues with this concert, all right? First of all, it says 8 o'clock on the ticket, right?
Right.
So every concert I've ever been to, you would think 8 o'clock means 9 o'clock, or 8:30, hip-hop, 9, you know, people go on, opening
depends
acts.
On how many acts. That was a show with, like, six acts. Those start exactly on time.
Dude, it started early.
Did it really?
Yeah. I got there at 7:55. Maya was halfway through her set. They must have been like, we're not going to have the time for everybody to start early.
Right. They must have, yeah.
What fucking hip-hop show starts early?
No shit.
And Maya was good.
But this isn't hip-hop. This is like the retirees of R&B.
Right. It was Maya, 112, yeah. Next, Drew Hill, and then it was... Bell Biv DeVoe, right. And then TLC, right?
And you got to think, all these people have children, too. They want to get home and, yeah. You know, put their kids to sleep now, too. So.
Maya was great. Maya put on a great show. She looks great. Then Next goes on, right? They have that song about the boner, baby, when we're grinding. I get so excited.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So two of the guys are fucking jacked. One guy's completely out of shape.
Yeah.
The two guys have their shirt off. One guy doesn't. Which you kind of feel bad for the other guy because he had the best voice out of the three.
Hey, and that's the guy with kids.
Yeah, like. So then 112 goes on. They were great. Peaches and Cream, you know, and all that. Then they put some girl on that named Chalk, right? C-H-O-C. Has not one hit in the 80s or 90s. I think she was like the promoter's daughter or the guy's girlfriend.
Right.
Sang a bunch of songs no one ever heard of. Went on for like 15, 20 minutes. Like, have more time than 112. No one knew who she was. I'm like, you can't do that in a throwback. Put her on first.
So right. She should have been covering the time, not Maya.
Yeah. So that was annoying. Then Drew Hill was great. And then actually, Bell Biv DeVoe was great. TLC made me sad because when they went on, they had like a flashback to them when they were younger.
Yeah.
They were all like super good shape, hot, right. Young, just adorable.
And isn't one of them not...
One of them died, right? So then they have the two girls come out. One of them looks like a bodybuilder, Chili.
Right.
And then T-Boz is like big. Like Aretha Franklin.
Right.
You know, big. Yeah. You know, like, so the other girl, so I said, now she's like almost like in the back while the other girl's giving guys lap dances on stage. It used to be all three of them, right? So then it was just like, you're like, I don't know if she's going to make it through this concert. I mean, she looks like she did good. But then they were kind of lip singing, and they should have had a girl replace Left Eye. But then they just had her on like a track.
On a track, right. So they were just playing a track and they let Left Eye's parts be on the track.
And then they were also, I think, maybe on a track too. It was just like, it kind of reminded me of how
I'm certain they were.
Yeah, it was like, it just wasn't, yeah, it was rough.
Although I saw Velvet Vaux, remember I was saying I went to that show that had a lot of those same acts. And Velvet Vaux was great. They still had tons of energy. They did all the same dance moves and shit.
Yeah.
I was like, these guys, they're still with it.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. But
they were impressive. I liked Velvet Vaux. I was impressed by how active they still were.
How are you?
I'm good, man. I've been shooting that movie for the last 2 weeks. I'm busy as shit. So that's been rigorous.
What was that? Oh, I thought you... Hold on. Okay.
Okay, now let's pause.
Okay.
Preacher Lawson just showed up. Can I tell you why you said you couldn't make it?
No, man. Don't tell him why I couldn't make it.
Okay, so Preacher, I didn't think Preacher...
Did you already say it?
No.
You already said it.
No, I didn't say it. I'm not going to blow up your
I just spot. Had a friend.
Yeah, he had a friend
That's
come
pretty
over.
Much it.
Yeah, so Preacher's a hilarious comic. Now,
and then he ran out with his friend's pajamas.
Yes.
That's my pajamas, bro. SpongeBob.
Now, last time you were here, you talked about America's Got Talent. You were on the All-Star edition right now, right?
Yeah. It's Champions, which is like they just pretty much take everybody from Got Talent that was favorites, like Susan Boyle, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, the winner of, you know, Darcy and all of those people, and they consolidate us and make us go against each other.
Wait, Susan on right now? Susan Boyle is?
Yeah, Susan Boyle's on. She won my round.
Susan Boyle beat you?
No, we moved on to the finals together.
Oh, so you're in the finals?
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. And then what do you get if you win the finals?
Well, I already did it. We already recorded it, but I got to
add. Ooh.
Okay. So what would you have won if you, or what's the...
Well, you don't really win any money. I think you might win a little bit of money, but I mean, I don't care about the money.
It's the exposure.
Yeah, I don't care about the money at all. I wanted was to be known.
Nice.
I wanted my goal was to be somebody's favorite comedian.
Nice.
That was it. So.
Did you have to sign a management agreement with them?
No.
That's good.
Yeah. I think that was back in the old days where they had American Idol and it's like you win and you're ours now. But I already had a manager when I was with
That's them. Really the thing. If you go in with a manager, you're much safer because otherwise they do try and manage you.
Yeah, they do. And then they're probably not the best.
Yeah.
So Greg,
well, they just lock you up.
That's not what
they
do.
They lock you up and make you do the shows.
So Greg, who's this movie with? What's going on?
Okay, so this movie that I'm shooting, it's an indie movie, but Chris Jericho is the big name.
No way.
Chris Jericho?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And so, and I have one of the lead roles in it. I've been shooting it for the last 2 weeks, and it's they've been letting us improv our asses off.
That's good.
So, I mean, I've been having a ball shooting this thing, and everyone's like, you're stealing the movie. They're going to change it to Miguel and the FU guys, because it's called the FU guys. Because they all went to Fairfield Union High School in the movie. So that's the origin of that. So, you know, it's just been a lot of work. And we were outside. I was thinking we're shooting up there, like in Newhall. We're shooting all this outside stuff. And it was raining like a motherfucker the first couple of days. They had to cancel shooting on Tuesday because Monday was just, it was so hard with all the rain. We had to cancel it and wound up shooting on Saturday instead. So, I mean, it was really tough during the bad weather. But overall, I mean, it's going to be a very funny movie. And I'm very excited about it. Man.
Nice, congratulations
man.
Thank you.
Chris Jericho. I used to be a huge fan of WWE.
Yeah,
I used to be a huge fan of wrestling.
Yeah,
then I turned 9, and I was like, not anymore.
So let's talk about some of the fights that happened over the weekend. First of all, the main event. You know,
I called it. I just want to say I called it just before we finished. But go ahead.
You
I
know,
knew that was gonna happen.
Really, Cejudo?
Yes. I had him knocking him out in the second round, but he just did in first, and that was way faster, and they stopped a little too early, but he still would have won.
Do you think it was the weight cut?
It was 1,000.
Man, he'll beat him at 135. See, Cejudo's a monster, man.
I happen to be talking about what's...
Sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry, my bad.
All right, so this guy comes late for the fucking show.
I'm sorry, bro.
All of a sudden, Susan Boyle's in your life. All right, so now, let's talk about that for a second. So, yeah, the weight cut was a huge, significant... You know, part of that. Then you can't. The guy has a 10-pack at 135. There was no reason to go to 125. If anything, go up to 145 and see how you do.
Yeah.
All right, that's a fight. A healthy TJ Dillashaw versus Max Holloway. But to go down to 125 is just pointless. You saw what happened. Cejudo pushed him over.
Yeah.
I mean, literally just pushed him.
Yep.
And the guy went flying.
Mm-hmm.
It was so dumb. Hopefully, he learned his lesson. Fighters learned their lesson. There was no point of going to 125.
There was no. I agree.
I mean, yeah, he looked absolutely outpowered. Yeah. You know, Cejudo was comfortable. He looked powerful. And he just, I mean, wiped him out.
Wiped him out.
I mean, wiped him out. Yeah. It was weird. And I could, and all I could think was that weight cut. That weight cut must have done it, man.
Of course,
it must have been way too much.
Of course, it was.
I think he beats him at 135. It would be harder, but I think he beats him at 130. Who's a monster, man?
Yeah,
he's a monster.
He's a monster at 125.
I think DJ beats TJ. What? DJ can't beat TJ.
Well, now you're saying this, but we're talking about the same TJ that knocked out Cody Nolove.
I still thought that DJ would beat him up. Because I think DJ destroys TJ.
I think at 125, yes, anybody beats TJ Dillashaw. I mean, not anybody, but a lot of people beat him at 125. At 135, we're talking about a different monster.
Man,
I think you're right. TJ, and that's all I could think was this weight cut made a huge difference.
I think it did make a huge difference. But regardless, when Cejudo goes up, he's still strong. He's still Cejudo.
He's the most powerful at 125. I think he loses that power advantage at 135.
Yeah, but he barely beat Benavidez.
We're talking about someone that grows. Like, I think Cejudo lost his last fight with DJ. To me, in my opinion, I thought he lost.
I was there.
You thought he won?
He definitely won. Everyone in the arena
wrestled him. He did not. He had way less strikes.
In MMA rules, he won.
No, man, he just held him down the whole time. I mean, I guess in MMA, okay. All right, I don't know if you count holding someone down and not striking them. If you count that,
well,
yeah.
It's top position. It's dominant. It looks better.
I thought DJ did way more damage. He did way more. I think Cejudo did amazing. But in my opinion, I thought he lost that fight.
No, he barely won.
I think the Cejudo and DJ, the second fight, was more like John Jones and Alexander, the first fight, where they were like, oh, John Jones getting hit. And they was just like, they were surprised because DJ's so invincible. When he does get hit, they're like, oh, my gosh, he's losing. And he's not. Like when John Jones and Alex, he won like four rounds, and they were like, "Oh, he lost the fight." And that wasn't true. Yeah. I think the same thing with Cejudo and DJ is that Cejudo lost that fight, but since he was actually hitting, he gave DJ his toughest fight besides like Dominic Cruz. Then everyone thought he won. And I think Cejudo he always gets better. That's the thing. I think later on he would beat DJ in my opinion because he always gets better. He gets better at striking, and he's still an Olympian wrestler. So, I mean, I think he beats TJ.
I don't know. I mean, who knows? But a lot of times people are very quick to jump off a bandwagon or jump on a bandwagon.
But I said he was going to win. I said he was going to knock him out.
I didn't hear you.
I said second round.
You said it to who? To like yourself?
Where was this statement made?
I will show you the group chat.
Show us the group chat.
When we were giving our predictions, I said, watch this.
And who else
even
is on
my
the group
text
chat?
Message.
It's just him. He's in his own group chat.
Well, listen, if you do put it on there and it's timestamped, well, that counts. Right. Sometimes I'll put stuff on Twitter or Facebook just to have it out there.
Who y'all got? I was like, Cejudo. That was one of my text messages, Cejudo.
Okay, so you were
say
right.
Knockout round
I
two
said
on there?
Gonna knock him out in the second round.
All right.
He knocked him out in the first round.
Did it say that on there?
He didn't.
I said that.
But at least you said Cejudo.
He didn't even knock him out, though. He didn't knock him out.
He was gone. Come on, man.
It was a knockout. He knocked him out three times in a row before they called it. I didn't think it was stopped too early.
But what was going to happen afterwards?
Exactly.
Yeah, but we can't go on what was going to happen because there's so many times the fight wasn't stopped and the guy came back.
He was not coming back.
Listen, the fact is, in his form, he probably wasn't, but you don't know that. Joe, what are your thoughts?
I don't disagree with the stoppage at all, and I do agree that if it wasn't stopped, I'm 100% sure he would have been finished either way, dude. So I have no problem with the stoppage. And there's a brief moment, like right when Cejudo was laying it on TJ, there's a shot of TJ, you see his eyes like roll in the back of his head.
Yeah, you didn't see that.
For like a second.
Yeah.
So it's like he's going down, dude. Yeah. By the way, did you see his reaction in the post-fight interview, dude?
Man.
Yeah.
This freaking sourpuss over there, dude. He's a sourpuss.
Well, yeah, he couldn't eat for 6 months. He went on the fucking Gandhi diet. Yeah. And then, of course, what do you think is going to happen? I mean, he's now in The Machinist, part two. I mean, he looks ridiculous.
Yeah, it was too much. Yeah.
I mean,
I knew he was going to be weaker, and I just know he wasn't going to be as fast as the flyweights.
Now, let's talk about the next fight. Greg Hardy. Okay, should not have been the co-main event. I don't know what they were thinking.
That was so strange. Like, really? I mean, this is one of those, you know,
three fights
where it's a novelty.
Yeah.
But it certainly isn't a co-main event.
A novelty
event
that nobody wanted to really see, though.
Yeah, exactly. It goes on the prelims
or something.
It wasn't like
James Toney or something where this guy's a huge boxer. We're like, oh, we'll put in the co-main event.
Yeah, the guy used to be a football player who got kicked out of the league for beating up women. I mean, it's not. And drugs.
I thought it was one woman.
So
it was one woman. But I think, but she said he beat her. Beat her.
You're lucky the finals already got shot. They can't take it back now.
But it was like three times.
He was doing drugs though?
Yeah.
He had multiple cocaine violations, I think it was.
And the thing is, though, he didn't even...
Because he played for the Cowboys. They picked him up, and they couldn't keep him on the field.
Well, they gave him the drugs.
Well, that's just Dallas.
Well, the thing about it, though, is that he was knocking everyone out quickly, but no one knew his actually whether or not he could really fight his ground game or how he would do if somebody started punching back. And he was losing. I think he would have lost that fight. He lost the first round to that guy.
Yeah.
Well, I thought he was doing. I thought he was winning.
No, the other guy took him down. It was like beating him.
No,
up.
Yeah, he gassed. He gassed really fast. You could tell he was used just hitting guys and then going out, and then that's it. You know, and then he was so gassed going back to his corner. Holy cow! His hands were on his waist. He was just like, it was bad.
He
had
to call Jerry Jones. I gotta rewatch first round.
For some reason, I thought he was winning, and then he got taken down. He wasn't. The guy didn't do it.
He was winning in the first 10 seconds.
He
already had his legs open, like for waiting for the dude to pass, and he never passed. It was weird.
Yeah, he kept swinging. Wait, don't take my word.
And he was almost like a Derrick Lewis, where he was Derrick Lewis is, I don't know, Derrick Lewis kind of gets up when he wants to get up, and I feel like that was with Greg Hardy.
I mean, Greg Hardy, I think.
The game is trash, obviously. But.
I think that Greg Hardy could be good in like 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. I think like 2 years.
Maybe 2 or 3 years, but he's got a lot of catching up to him. He has literally no combat sports experience. Yeah. And
I mean, his boxing wasn't bad. I mean, you could tell that's what he likes.
He could
punch. The boxing part.
He could punch.
But that was about it.
But then the illegal knee.
That was pretty weird.
I don't know if that was done on purpose. People said
he's new.
Somebody tweeted he didn't think his last punches were illegal either.
That's pretty funny.
That's funny. That's funny.
So that was.
Dude, it was badass when Crowder was like walking him down, screaming at him.
His mic's on. Your mic's on, right?
That's my mic.
Yeah, make sure it's on. Yeah, Crowder fucking was into it. I happen to like Crowder now.
I love when fighters do that.
Yeah. That was good. And it looked like it almost threw Greg off a little bit.
Oh, right? Totally did.
He was like, are you talking to me, man?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I think that's why you need him, because he kind of got mad.
Do you feel like Crowder made a choice? Because I feel like he made a choice to stay down.
Yeah.
Because what's his name announced immediately, if he can't go on, I'm disqualifying Hardy.
Have you ever been kneed by a 6'5" ex-football player that trains in MMA?
Yeah, not at all. But that guy's also a big guy, too. But I'm just wondering, I'm just asking the question. Do you think that like he was like, oh, fuck it, he's going to disqualify him, I'm staying down
there? Matters, man. I think that's the right choice to make.
I think so, too. I would have done that, too. Like, oh, fuck it, then I'm out.
He already did damage. Yeah. So you're going to go up. I thought he was going to lose that fight. I thought Crowder was going to lose the fight. I thought Greg was winning that fight. I think it was just, the only time he was losing when he got taken down. I think he got taken down. And then
I think he just couldn't resist. He saw the kill shot, and he didn't even think about whether it was legal or not.
Yeah,
I think he couldn't resist it. Like, in a position like this, I'm going to need this motherfucker.
I think Crowder did the right thing. I wouldn't keep going.
I wouldn't have done it either. No, I know. I'm just wondering if you felt like he could have made a choice.
I think also it does seem that Greg Hardy gets into, like, psycho mode.
Yeah.
Like, beast mode. Probably on the football, probably everything, where he just says.
You say he blacks out.
He probably does. And so in that fight, he was like, fuck it, just kill or be killed. That's a scary individual.
In the interview, he was talking about, he was like, you know, his leg was about to come up, and I was trying to time it. And I was like, his leg was not coming up. When did you see that?
Yeah.
When did you see his leg coming up, Greg?
I think he was just saw what he wanted to see.
Yeah, he was just like, I'm kill. Yeah, he was just, yeah.
Yeah, it was a kill shot. He knew it, and he took it.
Every fight on the card, every single fight, except Cejudo and one other fight, I was wrong about every single one.
Me too, dude.
I was like, yo, everybody.
You had Rachel winning?
Huh?
Rachel Ostovich?
I had Rachel winning.
Yeah, me too, dude.
I had Rachel winning.
Why did you guys have Rachel was 4-4?
I had Cowboy losing.
Yeah.
Cowboy looked good. I think it was the hair.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, weird hair this time.
It was just weird to see him with hair.
Didn't look good the first round. He was getting lit up. He was getting lit up, and he
The first
punches.
Half of the first round.
Yeah, then Hernandez was like, he looked good. I mean, I wanted him to win, man. I wanted him to win because he's like, he talks, and he's really good at talking. Like, you can see he's super genuine. He talks like Conor McGregor. Like, it's not like he's, you know, Chael Sonnen, he has, like, lines prepared kind of thing. Like, he's just talking. And then it sucks because now he just got whooped.
Well, I think, yeah, but he didn't take a big step back, I don't think. Losing to a guy like that, he's very, very young.
Yeah.
He's very, very new. He has never fought a guy that could take his punch.
Yeah.
You know?
Cowboy was taking him a little.
And that's.
I thought Paige VanZant looked really good. I thought she looked.
Let's say this for a second. So.
We weren't even talking.
Let's just talk about this for just for one second. Okay. You know,
I thought we were just talking about the fight.
We are. But let's talk about the stay on the Cowboy.
Oh, okay.
Versus. Now I forgot what. No, but it does seem that Cowboy. I think his baby is a big motivator. It seems like since he had that kid.
Yeah.
He's unbeatable. Bruh. I mean, when you have a baby, and I know it.
It changes your life.
Oh my God! And yeah. You know, when you're used to like doing whatever you want to do, and being like, even when I'm driving, sometimes I'm fucking like going, I'm making some stupid turn. I'm like, man, I could just fucking die, and then. My baby won't have a father. Like, you start second guessing a lot of your dumb choices that you
right,
make.
Right.
On top of you start making the right choices of what do I got to do to make sure her life is better. And it just seems like with his son, it's the best thing for his career right now because he just annihilated Mike Perry. And then he just beat this kid that a lot of people were not giving him a good shot to beat.
Cowboy is the most talented dude to never have a belt. Like, who's better than him that has not had a belt?
Melvin Gallard, people said.
Melvin Gallard?
Yeah.
The guy that Cowboy finished?
Like, yeah, but like natural talent.
Well, natural talent, I'm talking about like the best fighter to never get a belt. Like, who's that dude? I mean, Kenny Florian's pretty
good. Didn't Cowboy have a WEC belt at one point?
He might have. Or a UFC belt, I'm guessing.
You're talking about?
I guess a UFC belt.
Strictly a UFC belt. The most talented guy. Anthony Johnson's a pretty talented guy.
Oh, okay, never mind. All right, well, there's a bunch. Never mind.
But he would be up there.
Yeah, he'll be up there.
He would definitely be up there. So one of those guys
that you
would have thought would have had a belt.
Yeah, he has the most wins in UFC history.
I don't think Clay Guida ever got a belt.
I don't know.
Yeah, but he's not like...
In that era, he was a pretty dominant...
He has never fought for a belt.
I feel like Clay Guida... He's a very talented guy with amazing cardio who outworked everybody.
Yeah.
But Cowboy is a very slick, talented guy. Like,
I'm just saying the guy was a staple of the UFC for a good couple of years there, and he never got a belt.
I mean, it just made me... Nate Diaz never got a belt. The Diaz brothers in the UFC. Both those guys are super talented. I mean, I just think you're right. I think Cowboy
feel like they could have got a belt if they were more serious.
Well, the thing about Cowboy, a lot of times he would like fights that you're like, oh, he's definitely going to win. He would lose. Nate Diaz fight is the exact. I thought Cowboy was going
to. Yeah, me too.
Beat Nate Diaz.
I thought he was going to beat him. I remember that fight too because I was like, man, this man can't. I don't know. It's almost like he just got shut down.
I think he got be getting his head a lot of times in bigger fights, but he looked great.
Nate destroyed.
Now the Paige VanZant fight.
Oh, now we're talking about it.
Yeah,
I thought she looked vastly improved. I thought she looked really great, especially her ground game.
I think she always looks like that.
But she got beat up the first round. Paige did. She was getting beat by Rachel. Rachel was putting it on her, right? Am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Rachel was beating her up the first round. And then Paige came back with that slick sub that pretty broke
she
Rachel's arm.
She just looked
arm.
Like her ground game was better than Rachel. Yeah.
Yeah.
She just looked, Paige looked like
Well, that's the thing. And I never thought she had a very good ground game. Then she got her on the ground and broke her arm. I was impressed by it.
That was just strong wrestling versus strong jiu-jitsu. That's all that was. And where Rachel went wrong is when she tried to jump on Paige's back. But Paige was already in that like sitting down, leaning forward position where she just slid right off the top of her back.
Right under her arm. It was all over. Broke her elbow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Still, I thought she looked really good.
She broke her elbow?
She hyperextended it. I know that.
I just mean this.
I don't know if she broke it. But.
The most respectful way. Rachel's so fine.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I'm just not trying to be. You know.
That's your kind of girl.
I don't want to get tweeted. But I like women, and she just is fine.
She's a little thicker, Hawaiian.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also,
and she came out swinging, and definitely. I mean, during that first round, you're like, "Whoa, Paige is a joke," but she weathered the storm, and I thought that was. I don't know. I thought that was.
What do you think about having your mom, dad, and brother as your cornermen?
Is that Rachel?
Yeah.
Yeah, but her dad's a fighter. Her brother's a fighter. I don't know about the mom. So they've always been. They're Hawaiians. Hawaiians are very close people.
Also, this was Paige's first fight with breast implants, too. So
really?
That was a big factor.
Paige had breast implants?
Yeah, dude.
Huge. Yeah, yeah. Big difference.
Big difference.
Really? She's actually holding in the one picture like a plate of pancakes to show off, and then her implants are there, and I wanted to be like before and after, but then I knew I was gonna get fucking. You can't even make those jokes anymore.
Yeah. Apparently, Joanna got breast implants too.
Who?
Joanna.
Yeah, Joanna Janczak.
Yeah,
definitely. She's. I know. Yep.
She got breast implants too.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Roy Nelson got a breast reduction. Now, I'll tell you who a guy who I think is going to be the next champ is Gregor Gillespie.
Oh, no. This dude. Cut him now, please.
Why?
Freaking boring as hell, dude. Nobody wants to see who? That.
The wrestler, the NCAA champion.
Yeah. You love wrestlers. You're so partial to wrestlers.
Well, I like guys who are dominant.
You mean a guy that just destroyed the
Yancey.
Yeah.
That dude. Yeah, I agree, man. I think he's really, really good.
He's excellent. He has excellent wrestling,
he
dude.
He was an NCAA champion.
Yeah, but there's a reason why people are booing him the entire fight. It's
in
UFC.
His hometown. But it doesn't matter. he went home. People were like, boo.
Yeah.
He actually got robbed the next day.
Really?
Somebody robbed him. He posted a picture of like him as Liam Neeson. Like, I know where you live. Like, the whole thing.
That's funny.
But yeah, so.
I like his personality, though. I do funny. His personality.
All I care about is if we get to the win. This is a sport. I don't.
That's not me. I don't care about if you just get the win. I want it to be exciting. Or you have to be exciting outside the cage.
There are enough guys out there like Diego Sanchez who are just going to put their fucking.
But
head
I don't.
In
I'm not saying him like that.
Punches.
Like someone like Israel Adesanya. Like, I think that he's outside
style
the cage.
Bender?
Yeah, style bender. Like, he's amazing outside the cage and amazing inside the cage. Someone like Chael Sonnen. Like, I would root for Chael Sonnen because he's just so funny outside the cage that I would like, all right.
But he also puts on a good fight in the cage.
Yeah, I mean, it's all right.
Yeah,
but
Khabib wasn't exactly blowing people away inside the cage. I mean, he's just take you down and beat you up.
I know, but you got to be like a really.
It's still exciting.
I feel like if you're a fan of MMA, you kind of recognize what he's doing.
And same with Gillespie. You don't recognize what he's doing?
I didn't think it was that boring, but I mean, it was boring enough for me to be like, I don't want him to be champion.
Dude, Yancey Medeiros landed one strike the entire
fight. That's shutting down someone's offense. I mean, San Antonio Spurs, right? Didn't they like win it on defense a couple years ago? I don't follow basketball, but I'm looking at the black guy in the room. Okay, but it just seems like, look, if you could win on defense or a certain way, then do it. You know? And Mayweather isn't exactly the most fan-friendly guy.
He's pretty exciting. People just don't like him. He's pretty exciting to watch. I don't know if someone thinks he's boring.
A lot of people would think he was boring.
I know a lot of people think, but I don't understand that. I just feel like you're not a fan of boxing. But it goes back to MMA. You got to be a fan of MMA. Yeah, I get it. I'm not saying the dude is boring to the point where I think he's like, who's boring? Like, who's a boring fighter?
John Fitch.
Yeah,
what's his name?
They cut him because
Shogun?
He was born.
No, not Shogun. Who was it? He was the karate base.
Stephen Wonderboy Thompson?
No, he was fun to watch.
Machida. Yeah.
He was boring as fuck.
Really?
Ooh.
No, he wasn't.
Machida?
Yeah, those some of those fun. Yeah.
Oh,
when
come
he would
on.
Sit there and try and avoid him for most of the fight.
Leona versus Rampage.
And then
is
people
the only
would,
boring fight I can think of off the top of my head.
There are a couple of fighters, but the thing is, when he would win, though, when he finally would strike, it would be some kind of.
Up until then, people would be booing and shit. And come on, man. He used to be do a bunch of.
Ryan Bader, and they were booing both of them, and Bader took a bad shot and then got knocked out after that. Now, I'll tell you what I don't like about ESPN. First of all, way too many fucking commercials on ESPN Plus. They got to stop with that.
Yeah.
There was one fight the first hour. There shouldn't be one fight an hour. I mean, come on, what are we doing here? And think about Fight Pass. It was fight.
Exactly. When you're paying a subscription rate, you're paying for no commercials or reduced commercials at least, not more than you would in broadcast television anyway.
Yeah. The second thing is Stephen A. Smith. We got the worst. He's the worst. The worst. I mean,
I gotta tell you, I don't know about him in terms of how in terms of MMA. I don't even think that's his field. I don't know why he'd be talking about it.
But he's
entertaining as fuck, and he hates the Cowboys with a passion. But I'd like him as a commentator.
At least like ask questions, like, hey, do you think this guy's wrestling is, or hey, do you think? Don't say like, yeah, his wrestling is the best in the world. Like,
he does though. He's a pontificator. That's what he does.
You know, he has no idea.
I remember watching him, and I was like, you don't know what you're talking about. But he's so
he probably
confident.
Doesn't. Yeah,
like he just kind of makes it up.
Yeah,
he just kind of makes it up.
Well, I'm sure he had somebody who knows what they're talking about write it for him.
Yeah, but they have to write better because it just seems like because when you watch him and you know that he has no idea what he's talking about, it's like Skip Bayless. Remember, he was there.
Yeah.
He's better than Skip Bayless. I'll give him that. Skip Bayless was like, Nate Diaz was an amazing sumo wrestler. And you're like,
what?
Yeah, that's what he said. He did sumo wrestling versus Conor McGregor.
Oh, my God.
And you're like, all right, this guy has no idea. Sumo wrestling?
Yeah, he's mostly a football guy.
He pretty much just said a whole bunch of broad generalizations. You know, he was like, you know, he would say stuff like, he has a lot. He's really good at wrestling, and he has a striking. So who's gonna counter? It was so dumb. But he's everywhere. They put him everywhere on ESPN. Everywhere.
And then didn't he say that Greg Hardy? I think this might tarnish his legacy as a fighter. Like. Tarnish.
I didn't even hear that. Like, that
his legacy as a fighter.
Like, this is going to tarnish
him? I was going to say.
Not the beating up.
I was going to say, not his failed football career, his actual legacy. There's no legacy. Oh, my God.
He's going to tarnish.
It's a footnote. Oh, and by the way, he tried MMA. I mean,
he's going to tarnish his legacy.
That's so funny.
So, I mean, you're like, what is going on? But they shouldn't let Stephen A. Smith near the microphone.
And also the whole, you start the first card on ESPN Plus and go to regular ESPN and then go back to ESPN Plus. It's so stupid, dude.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's,
I know.
So dumb.
Yeah, I just went on the Reddit, but whatever.
Yeah, just watch the highlights.
That's all right.
Oh, it's all good.
I do that too, though. It's okay.
Yeah, I'm not paying.
Yeah. So yeah, so let's talk about the fights this week. Okay, there's some good fights this week. US Bellator in LA, Englewood, Fedor versus Bader. Ryan Bader versus Fedor
that's here.
Yeah, for the heavyweight championship.
How old is Fedor? He's got to be like 86 years old now.
Yeah, but he beat Chael Sonnen and Frank Mir to get to this.
Okay.
No, did he beat?
Bader's going to just.
He should.
I think he's just.
Bader should dismantle him.
I think he's just going to, because Bader's still, like, I feel in his prime.
And then he should take his Social Security card and rip it up and throw it like.
He's from Russia.
Oh, that's right.
But yeah. Who is Fedor fought in their prime?
In his prime?
Yeah.
Mark Coleman?
No. I'm saying with the last five fights.
Oh.
Who has he fought in their prime? Like Frank Mir.
No, he's in the senior tournament.
But this is the Bellator heavyweight tournament.
That's
this
what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So Bader is in his prime.
There's nobody.
Bader is kind of not in his prime
he's
either,
still, he's kind of falling off. But he's still like.
But he's
like,
much closer to his prime than Fedor or anybody else. Certainly Chael or any
of
those.
He's at the end of his prime.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So Fedor, we can all agree that he's not in
Fedor might win, though. Bader has like a history of sometimes choking in these big fights. I mean,
he does. Remember Anthony Johnson?
Remember Tito Ortiz?
Yeah.
Obviously he loses to John Jones, but then he also loses to guys you're like, how did he lose that fight? I mean, he did beat King Mo in this tournament, and he did.
How did he beat? I didn't even think I watched that fight.
He knocked out King Mo quickly.
Really?
And then he also did beat.
What? I didn't see that.
And then he also beat Matt Mitrione. He killed Matt Mitrione.
Yeah, I remember that.
So he should beat Fedor, but. And Fedor,
what's his name? Fedor's most recent win was against what's his face?
Chael Sonnen.
Was it Chael?
Yeah, and Chael was winning, and then he went for some ridiculous, like, judo, jiu-jitsu
roll,
that's right.
Like, I don't know what this was. So, all right, so that's Aaron Pico is fighting Henry Corrales. This should be a good fight. Aaron Pico at one point was the top wrestler.
15 seconds?
Yeah.
Look at the wrestlers. You love
Pico's
it.
Good.
I know,
good
you're a wrestling guy. And wrestling neutralizes jiu-jitsu. So
Pico's also a great striker, dude. He's scary, dude. That's why he's entertaining. He doesn't wrestle.
And then
I'm just saying, he's a wrestler, national champion wrestler. You can hear him getting a hard on.
And then you can hear me getting a hard on. Yeah. And then AJ.
Boner timeout.
AJ Agazarim, he's in all the Nick Diaz.
Oh, that he's fighting finally
yeah,
in MMA?
Fighting. Yeah.
Ooh, let's go, boys. It's at the forum. Let's go.
He's fighting Jesse Roberts. AJ was like Nick's manager for a second.
He's very cringy. You know, one of those cringy, like Colby Covington type trash talker dudes.
And then Juan Archuleta is fighting Ricky Bendejas. That should be a good fight, too. That's actually a good card. It's a really good card.
Is it on DAZN?
It's on. Yes, it's on DAZN.
All right.
Paramount and DAZN.
I need another email to start another free trial.
Really?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Just start another email account. Yeah.
Man, I know this is kind of random.
Yes.
But I was just watching Ryan Bader knock out King Mo, which, I mean, I don't have anything against you personally, King Mo. But for some reason, I think it's because you beat my boy Rampage. But I just enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But Phil Davis has gotten so much better.
Yeah, but he lost his last fight.
Did he?
Yeah.
I thought he won.
No, he lost it in Israel against a guy that was pretty good. It was a pretty close fight. You could argue that Phil won. It was like not even like they weren't even like promoting the fight, which was like sad.
Because yes, that's why I'm here.
I don't know what they're doing with Phil Davis because he's so good, Phil Davis.
Yeah.
He's gotten so much better. But yeah, he lost to a guy that the guy was good though. The guy he lost to was actually really good. Some Russian guy that's like 15-1. And then the following week, the next UFC fight is Asensio versus Marlon Moraes. That should be a good fight. Rafael Asensio versus Marlon Moraes.
I want Marlon in that fight.
Yeah?
Yeah.
The only one I know
he's
is
so
Asensio.
Fun to watch.
He's pretty good.
Marlon just knocked out Jimmy Rivera in like 11 seconds with a head kick.
Before that, he knocked out Aljamain in like 12
really?
Seconds. He's fun to watch,
he is,
dude.
He is he's like one of those action figures.
He's shredded.
Yeah.
And who's he fighting again?
Rafael Asensio, who is no joke.
Yeah.
That should be a good one.
Didn't he beat TJ or something?
He beat TJ. TJ beat
way
him
early.
Then TJ beat him in the rematch.
Yeah.
Then Aldo is taking on Renato Moicano.
Co-main.
That guy's really good, Moicano. I like Renato in this fight.
It's not a dumb pick.
Yeah. That's and again, Lyman Good's fighting Damian Maia.
This is next weekend, right? Not this weekend.
Yeah. And then who else? Charles Oliveira versus David Tamor. Should be a good fight.
Ooh, that's a badass fight.
Yeah, Thiago Alves versus Max Griffin. We've had Max on the show. It's a really good Brazil card. Really, really good Brazil card.
Seems dope, but I still can't believe y'all think Cejudo would lose to TJ. And
then the next week, though, Kelvin Gastelum.
What?
Our boy.
He's back.
Fighting Robert Whittaker.
Okay.
For the title.
All right.
Yeah, this is a tough fight for Kelvin. I think he can win, though.
Me too.
He can always win. You just don't know which one's going to show up.
No, well, you know the fat one's going to show up.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, he either shows up and he's amazing or he shows up and he's fat and gasses and gets beat.
That's what Tyron Woodley was talking about going to middleweight. And he was like, I'll be fine. He's like, one of the guys competing for the title already beat on a broken foot. And he said they're just two welterweights that don't know how to cut weight correctly.
Yeah, there you go.
And they are like they if they would be if they just know how to cut weight.
Do you now? Do you like Tyron or
Tyron
or Tyron. Usman?
Tyron,
really?
Before he even finished, Tyron beats everyone.
Really?
Yeah, I think he beats everyone in the welterweight. I think he beats most people in middleweight.
I think you're right, but Usman's going to be tough.
Man, he's going to destroy Usman. He's going to knock him out.
He's going to destroy him.
He's going to knock.
I hope
Usman
he does knock
out.
Him out.
I love Usman. That's my dude. I follow him on bread. I love Usman. He's knocking him out.
Wow.
He's not.
Wow.
I mean, I don't think because I've seen Usman get rocked too many times. No one else
by who?
Noticed. He got rocked by Damian Maia, and he got rocked in his last fight by Hop. Yes, he did. He got hit, and then I was like, he got hit, and then he got wobbled. And I was like, did anyone else catch that? And he just went forward.
I think he
then,
was dancing.
Yeah, he was.
He was dancing, but there wasn't any music.
He
playing.
Got hit by Damian Maia. And Damian Maia has rocked a few people. It's not like he doesn't rock. You know what I mean? He's rocked a few people when he's hit him, but I think that Tyron's gonna hit him and he's not. I mean, because who is Usman fought that's like Tyron?
Who is Usman fought that's like Tyron?
Usman gonna knock Tyron out? Is he gonna out wrestle him?
Mm.
What's he gonna do?
I don't know.
Yeah, listen.
What's he gonna do?
He's got good cardio.
He's got great cardio.
He could out cardio him.
How? He's gonna press.
He's got really good wrestling.
He has great wrestling. He's not taking Tyron down.
And it's all like it depends on if he shows up 30%.
I just don't see.
No.
I do not see Usman beating him. I don't see Covington beating him. I think Covington. I think Covington is probably like one of the easiest fights for a lot of people because he just has pressure.
No, he's not easy for anybody.
Bruh, he's like he just has.
Who's he easy for?
I think Usman beats him easy.
I don't know about that one.
How does Covington beat Usman? His strike is not as good as Usman.
Taking him down.
His wrestling is not as good as Usman.
I don't know. We're talking about MMA wrestling, not just wrestling.
Yeah, man. I think Usman beats him. I think Usman beats Covington.
I don't know. It's a very close fight. I think
Till beats Covington.
I think if they fought 10 times, they might each win 5 times, to be honest. But I do agree with you that a motivated Tyron Woodley is could beat anybody. Motivated Tyron. Which, you know, the only person to beat Tyron really was Rory McDonald. And you know, and the guy in Strikeforce, Nate Marquardt,
he was juiced up.
Yeah, but a lot of the guys are juiced up. Now Anderson Silva is fighting Israel on that card.
Everybody just a deep sigh.
Yeah,
no,
because Anderson Silva is the reason I started watching MMA.
Yeah,
you said like about 10 people already.
No, Anderson Silva. No, who did I say about?
You said Rashad Evans.
No, I didn't. I say he's one of my favorite fighters.
Oh.
Yeah, no, Anderson Silva's the reason I started. Because I remember watching him with my brother. I was like, man, that black dude good. And he was a Brazilian. But, yeah, no, Rashad's not the reason I started watching MMA. Oh. He's just one of, when I started watching, you know, MMA, he was in the beginning. So he was my dude. So and I really wanted him to beat John Jones.
I think Anderson can submit Israel Adesanya. Man, he has great jiu-jitsu.
He's not beating Israel.
But you never know, yeah, dude.
No, come on.
No, he's not submitting Israel.
Cowboy just beat Alexander Hernandez.
Pulled off a submission, except for Chael Sonnen back in, you know, whenever.
You never know, dude.
Anderson Silva is my favorite fighter of all time.
I don't know why they're giving him
Stylebender. He was so great.
He's amazing.
And again, and I only think he lost because he wanted to lose.
Come on.
No, the initial one, the initial loss.
To who? To Weidman?
Yeah.
He wanted to lose.
Yes, he did.
Why would he want to lose?
Because he was tired of winning. Yeah. I'm not even joking. He left his head hanging out there. He was dancing. And then afterwards, he's like, no, he's your champ.
No.
I think he needed something to work against. He needed a reason to come back and fight. Now, when he came back and got, you know, his leg broke and all that, I don't think he planned on any of that shit. But I think subconsciously he wanted to be beaten.
Have you ever wanted the bomb on stage?
Sometimes.
When?
Sometimes it was just too good. No, but I could see someone wanting a challenge.
Listen, man, you know what I mean? I feel like, that, though.
I don't.
I think.
No, no, no. I think he had lost the fire. He'd lost the.
I agree with all that.
You know, because he just won too much.
You don't want to have somebody knock you out.
I'm not saying deliberately lose, but he'd lost the fire for winning.
That's not different than wanting to lose.
Subconsciously, I think he did. He wanted to be beaten. He wanted a challenge.
He
wanted somebody that made him work.
What?
You think Covington beats Till?
Yes, easily.
What?
Darren Till can't defend a takedown.
Who can't? He defended all the takedowns against Tyron Woodley. Until he got hit.
It was a minute and a half, that fight.
No, what are you talking about? It was two rounds.
Oh, two rounds.
First round, Tyron could not get a takedown on him. He's too big.
No.
Till is a monster, man. And he couldn't get a takedown, and Woodley couldn't get a takedown.
No, that's easy. Till is the easier fight for a wrestler.
It's a bad matchup for Kobe. When they were talking about doing that fight, I did not want that fight to happen because I wanted to see Kobe versus Tyron. And I feel like Till was going to beat Kobe.
No.
Because I feel like he doesn't. I feel like Kobe. Who is still beat?
Yeah.
I mean, he's beat like Wonderboy, which I thought he lost the fight against Wonderboy. But he beat Wonderboy and he beat Cowboy.
He beat Cowboy, but I think Cowboy took him lightly. I know he did. Cowboy doesn't watch tape on anybody.
Yeah.
And he was bigger. I think Cowboy was coming up for the first time. It should be 55. Till's a bigger guy.
Yeah.
Probably cutting a lot bigger. But Till has never. Till's just
like
all
he
of
comes
a sudden,
in, he's going to counter. He's countering him.
We don't know how Till reacts when he's losing.
So Kobe beat who? Kobe beat Damian Maia.
Rafael Dos Anjos.
Okay, but Kobe was getting, his face was jacked.
By who?
Damian Maia. Did you not see his face?
He won five rounds to nothing.
He got hit against Damian Maia is what I'm saying.
He has fair skin.
Listen, he got hit against Damian Maia. If Till hits him, it's going to hurt.
Come on. Damian Maia hits Rafael pretty fucking hard.
Rafael.
Chael Sonnen told me that Damian
had he's a 165er.
Who?
He's a Rafael Dos Santos.
Was that Hernandez's face that was all beat up at the end of the fight?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Everybody beats Rafael, man.
I mean, his face.
Everybody beat Rafael.
He took a beating this weekend.
He started out strong,
but by the end of the fight, his face is a mess.
They needed 165 division for him.
You guys, Kobe's lost one fight his whole career, and that was the fight that he got caught in the guillotine.
He's not.
How do you say that about a guy that's only lost one fight?
He's not that. Well, I mean, hey, you know, Dan Hardy just lost his first fight yesterday.
Dan Hardy hasn't fought in 7 years. Greg Hardy.
You know, my bad.
My bad. I think it's a little different.
Oh, Dan Hardy follows me on Twitter, guys. He follows everyone, though. follows everyone. You know who followed me yesterday on Twitter?
Who?
The girl who's the original speaker for Siri.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that lady. Yeah.
Yeah, like. Hey Siri, how much do you love me?
Hold on, I'm calling Sarah McMahon. Look, right. All right, we're calling Sarah McMahon right now.
Sarah McMahon?
Yeah.
Hey.
What's up, guys? Sexual performance issues are way more common than you think. Over 25% of new ED cases are guys under the age of 40. That's you, Ween Dog. You! And 40% of men by age 40 struggle from being able to not maintain an erection. That's not good. Even the world's best actor cannot fake an erection. All right? And why do guys turn to weird solutions or do nothing when they can turn to medicine and science? Yeah, medicine and science, people. All right? Don't do nothing. Go to 4hims.com. It's a one-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, sexual wellness for men. Listen, okay, this stuff is awesome, okay? They connect you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat erectile dysfunction. You don't want to get a girl or guy home, and you're ready to, you're ready to have the magic night, and then you can't get it up. And then it just, it's bad, people. It's really, really bad. Nobody wants that, all right? And listen, they don't give you snake oil pills or gas station counter supplements. It's prescription solutions backed by science. There's no waiting room. No awkward or in-person doctor visits, all right? You go to the doctor, you see someone you know. What are you here for? Then you have to lie or be like, oh, ED. It's just a bad. All right, listen, okay? It's erectile without the dysfunction. It's hard made easy. Say hello to your little friend. Try Hims for a month today for just $5. We'll get you started for just $5 while supplies last. See the website for full details. This would cost hundreds if you went to the doctor or a pharmacy. Go to forhims.com/MMAroastED. That's forhims.com/MMAroastED. forhims.com/MMAroasted. Check it out. Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos all commission-free. They strive to make financial services work for everyone, not just the wealthy. It's a non-intimidating way for stock market newcomers to invest for the first time with true confidence. It's a simple and intuitive. They have a clear design, with data presented in an easy-to-digest way. Listen, the values of Robinhood, the app, they got no commission fees. Other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade, but Robinhood doesn't charge commissions, okay? They don't charge commission fees. They don't keep all your profits. Their design is easy to use, okay? They have the easy-to-design charts and market data. Place a trade in just 4 taps on your smartphone. You learn by doing. Learn how to invest as you build your portfolio. You can discover new stocks and track favorite companies with personalized news feeds, all right? And Robinhood is giving listeners a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help build your portfolio. Sign up at mmaroasted.robinhood.com. That's mmaroasted.robinhood.com. Check it out. Hello, Sarah McMahon.
Hello.
Hey, Sarah.
Hey.
How are you?
What's going on?
Hold on one sec. Oh, yes, you're on the MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Preacher Lawson, Greg Romero Wilson. We got the Ween Dog. Do you watch America's Got Talent?
No, I don't watch TV.
Oh, well, there's this funny black guy on it we wanted you to vote for.
Well, I'm a huge fan.
Yes, we're huge fans of yours, Sarah. congrats on the second baby.
Thank you.
Was it easier as far as giving birth in the first one or harder?
Oh, easier. I got the epidural this time.
How come you didn't have it the first time?
Oh, go ahead.
How come the first time you didn't have it?
Well, I was worried that it would take longer, and the longer it takes to deliver, the more chance it's unsafe for the baby. So I was like, if it's shorter, but it's way more painful for me, but it's better for her, then I'll do that. You know, I'll take that sacrifice. But being strong and athletic and apparently like good genetics, like I had her in like 40 minutes. So I was like, get out.
Wow.
Serve the eviction notice. Boom. She was gone.
Oh my God.
So I knew that I had fast babies. So this time I'm like, why in the world would I not get an epidural? But it's like, I'm not getting surgery without anesthesia.
You have
That's
to get
insane,
it.
Insane to me.
Oh my God. I'm telling you, my wife was in so much pain. And that was with the epidural. I couldn't imagine not having it.
Oh yeah, no. I was still in a lot of pain before I got the epidural. It was pretty far along, but I'm so glad I did because we thought that the baby was going to be like the doctor's like, oh, he's going to be big. He might be like an 8-pound baby. My daughter was like 6 pounds 11 ounces. She was tiny, so I was like, oh, okay. Well, I'm getting the epidural. That son of a gun he was 9 pounds 7 ounces. He was humongous. I'm so glad I did. I would have wanted to kill myself.
Is he now the biggest member of Team Alpha Male?
You're terrible.
That's awesome. Well,
in like 2 years, he will be. He's already up like over 10 pounds.
Wow. I know. And I like see if you already have him on the mats.
Yeah, he got a little gi, but don't you worry. I got him in a singlet first.
Oh, good. Good.
Yes. So that's working as far as
I don't want him tainted.
Yeah, so Preacher wanted to know, how does that work as far as recovery time?
How does that work as far as recovery time? Because, you're just having a baby.
Well, okay, so it's pretty mandatory 6 weeks. Like, I try to be a complete moron and come back and do really light stuff before that. But, man, like, your body, it's almost like you have, like, internal bleeding. Like, it's just, it's it's like getting into a car accident. Like, your body's wrecked. There's no, and if you want to come back early, it's like coming back early on a broken bone. You're just an idiot. So I learned that the hard way, even though I already had a kid and I should have known this, but I'm apparently an idiot. So, I tried a little bit. And then I was like, okay, I need to stop. My body just didn't feel right. And, you know, like, I was super duper tired. Like, it just didn't feel like a good workout and a good recovery. And, so now I just stepped back and I'm letting my body fully heal without taking it back steps. Plus, it's kind of good too, because my sleep is like very scant these days.
Now,
but I'm hoping that like around 8 weeks, I can come back and really be doing like light workouts and doing like technical workouts without any problems.
Now you're a competitor. Obviously, you're an Olympic silver medalist, wrestling your whole life, MMA. You know, you're a badass, fought for the title, this and that. How much do you miss competing right now?
Oh my God! Like, even the moment I got pregnant, I still rolled live like for a while. But oh my God, I watch people, I watch the fights, and I'm so jealous. I'm so jealous. It doesn't matter what weight class it is. It doesn't matter who's fighting. I'm like, I want to be out there. I want to feel that feeling. I want the nerves. I want the weight cut. I want all of it. I don't care. So I'm chomping at the bit to get back.
Sweet.
Speaking of the weight cut, where did you think, like, I'm convinced that TJ Dillashaw just depleted himself way too much. I mean, he got pushed over by Henry Cejudo. I mean, do you agree with that?
Yeah. So I do agree with that. I think also one thing that's different, I mean, because that could also be, you know, he just might have lost his balance, but you are different. You are different when you cut a lot of weight, and that goes for anybody, because you're used to feeling a certain way. You're used to being able to drop your hips and like drop your weight and be a certain amount of heavy. And if you are constantly heavier in practice and then you drop down, your fights are going to be different no matter what. But for him, oh man, like, I looked at him at 135 and I was like, that dude has no body fat. Like, he has nothing to lose to get to 125. Like, he just doesn't. And so he had to have done, like, there's no way he didn't lose a little bit of muscle and used it mainly with dehydration. I mean, he just didn't have any fat to lose. You can only lose, you're not losing organs. You're not losing bones. You only have so much that you can actually pull from. And, He pushed it as far as he could, and I've never, like, there's one of the guys I look at and I'm like, he looks like beef jerky. Like, he looks like he got left in the oven too long, and oh man, I felt bad for him.
Were you at Team Alpha Male when that whole thing went down?
No. He had been gone for a little while before I came here.
Now, were you on the same team as Henry?
Nope. So I was in the finals that year, but I didn't make the Olympic team in 08. That was his first year. But I've known Henry since he was in high school. Like, he was a phenomenal high school wrestler. And he used to come up. He was, like, smaller and, you know, just a good guy and open-minded. And he used to help some of our smaller weight girls get ready for their competitions.
Oh, that's very nice of him. That's very nice of him.
Wow, man. So what do you...
Yeah.
I think, well, I guess you can't give you a prediction, but I feel like he would beat him, TJ, again at 135.
I don't think
the weight cut did take some out of him, but I think it takes, I mean, Cejudo, he's a strong dude. He said he weighed in at 146.
I think you're overlooking how good TJ is.
TJ's amazing. I just think Cejudo is amazing.
Sarah, help us with this.
So, just being honest, because I obviously am going to pull more for the Olympic wrestler, you know, but even I have to admit that with TJ's skill set, like, besides the wrestling, on the other aspects, I think he edges Cejudo. Like, he does. He's had more experience. He's had more high-level fights, you know, and you can't, and he's trained on high-level teams. So I think that with the wrestling, obviously Cejudo is going to be better, but the other skills, I think TJ is slightly better.
What happened though? He didn't, it's not the wrestling that wants Cejudo to fight.
I just say that being an honest person, you know, just saying what I really feel.
This is like a very honest person.
I always try to place myself like if I were going to fight that person.
Yeah. Well, Sarah has slept on this couch before, by the way, just so you know.
Oh, have you?
Yeah. She slept on my couch. with her husband.
You did what?
I said you slept on my couch before. Yes. So
yes, I have.
She has. Yes.
So what does that make? That doesn't make it right. Listen, I think. I mean, I appreciate the honesty and stuff. I can't see. I just feel like Cejudo wins. I feel like. I mean, he hit him. It's not like he wrestled him. That's why he won. He won because he has a power.
Yeah. No. It's true.
I mean, right now we're gonna agree with you because we don't know till it happens. Now, Sarah, a girl that you fought, Amanda Nunes, I was pretty shocked when she knocked out Cyborg. Were you?
Yeah, I definitely did not. I'm notorious for being the worst person at calling fights anyway, so keep that in mind. But I didn't know how Amanda reacted being hit like Cyborg hits because you know, when she fought, I mean, Holly Holm is a phenomenal striker, you know, world champion boxer. And when Holly was hitting Cyborg looked like she was just walking through the park. Like she didn't even react to the punches. And I know Holly hits hard. Well, whenever she'd hit Holly, she'd knock her like 5 paces. Like the girl was almost falling over. And she knows how to take a punch. She knows how to take the heat off of it and stuff. So I thought no matter how great Amanda is as a striker, I was like, once Cyborg starts landing bombs, like we're going to see, you know, like, but man, I was totally wrong. Like, and that could be just that Amanda happened to get to the punch a little faster. And that if Cyborg had landed a couple, maybe it had gone the complete opposite way. I don't know. But yeah, I was pretty surprised about that. But
I mean,
hats off to Amanda.
When she hit you, was that the hardest you've ever been hit?
It wasn't the hardest I've ever been hit. It was definitely hard though. There's a couple times. Well, in sparring, I train with guys. So, yeah. I mean, to be honest about biology, the hardest that a girl could ever hit is still not as hard as a guy who wants to hurt you.
Now,
so,
now what girl has ever hit you the hardest?
Let's see. I'm trying to think.
Okay. Who
I don't know. Maybe I was gonna say maybe it was her.
And then who have you hit the hardest? That gotta be Misha Tate, right?
Who does what?
Who do you think you hit the hardest? That's probably Misha, right?
Oh. Yeah. I think that it probably was. I hit Hitomi Akano and like I punched her and then I hit her so hard she spun completely around. So I was like, and then I had to pause because I was like, oh, I can't punch her in the back of the head. So, I pretty much hit everybody hard. But Misha's the one I landed on her orbital.
Yeah.
So
now I got to say, since obviously, you know, both of us are wrestling fans. I mean, you obviously much more successful than I have, although I was pretty good. Now I coach, I coach middle school wrestling. And one of the best things for our program has been the change in the uniforms. They asked me, you know, do you want to get rid of the singlets and switch to MMA shorts and tank tops? And so many more kids join the team after that. And the kids don't feel embarrassed. What do you feel about that?
I feel like there's no reason to keep something if it doesn't, like, you know, if it's something that impedes people from wanting to join wrestling.
Right.
The only reason I like the singlet, especially for females, is that your shirt can't really come loose and start to come up. And in high school and in middle school, that is a little bit more important for girls. But honestly, like I was 14 years old out there in spandex in front of every single person I knew wrestling. Like that's just a embarrassing situation for a girl no matter what. So it doesn't matter what you put them in. I mean, if they feel more comfortable, it's still spandex. You can still see everything. I was just commenting the other day. I'm like, I'm so used to guys wearing cups that now when I see guys in singlets, I'm like, oh God, like that's just vulgar. What are you doing? Cause you can see everything. Spandex does not hide anything on anyone. So,
right.
Yeah.
I don't know if they feel more comfortable. I say go for it. There's no reason to hang on to the singlet for, you know, just tradition's sake.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And people are like, well, I had to wear it. So I'm like, so that's bullshit. Like, you know,
reason.
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. Now, your boyfriend won a big tournament, right? Or I guess he's, is he your husband or what exactly is he to you? I know you guys aren't married, but
he's my boyfriend.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not getting married to anybody. They can't have half my stuff.
No, there you go. That's right. That's right. Strong, independent woman.
He's my boyfriend. You said he... What was your question?
Didn't he win some big tournament in jiu-jitsu or something? Or didn't he?
No, he did it. He won a fight to win. He competes more in fight to wins.
No, what exactly? What's fight to win?
Okay, so fight to win is a really awesome promotion where they just take different jiu-jitsu guys and girls and they match them up with like pretty good skill level or pretty, you know, like they kind of run it like a fight. And they pay them. They pay them for ticket sales and they pay them bonuses for subbing the person. It's a submission only tournament. And it really points don't matter whatsoever. Positions don't matter. And at the end, you have three judges that, you know, judge whether you won the battle or not, if you don't get a submission. And he does pretty well on that. He mainly loves coaching. But he still is a competitor. So he gets the itch and he'll sign up for it and go grapple people.
He's a real nice guy. He's like 6'2", tall, good-looking guy, just laid back.
Nice.
Very confident. You know, you ever meet those guys, just like they know they could fuck you up. They're just super sweet. Like,
I think he is one of those guys.
No.
Preach is like loud. This dude is like super laid back. And then like Sarah's like a little feisty, you know, tough.
Yeah.
They have like a really cute couple. Their daughter is adorable. Their daughter is just like, and they like curse in front of the daughter.
Oh, really?
And just.
But shut up was a cuss word in my house growing up.
But like my dog
She won't curse. Listen, she won't curse no matter even if I try to get her to. I'm her mom and I'm like, no, you can have permission just this one time. She's like, no, like she's so good.
We haven't been cussing on this podcast.
I don't know whose kid she is, honestly.
She's from South Carolina, she's super sweet. But the daughter tried to like pet my dog, and my dog tried to bite her.
Yeesh.
And then she started crying, the daughter, you know, and she's like, it's okay. Some animals just aren't friendly, but doesn't mean it's not you, it's me. It was like super.
It's a teachable moment.
Oh, it's very teachable. Sarah, that should be your nickname, teachable moment. That would be
Sarah Teachable Moment. Yeah. Back name. Yeah. That's great.
If you watch my fight with Gina Carano, apparently I'll do that directly after a fight too.
Wait, you fought Gina Carano?
I mean Gina Mazzani.
Gina Mazzani. I was like, when did that fight happen?
Yeah,
Gina
yeah.
Carano. I was like,
no, sorry.
Yeah. So who do you want to fight in your comeback, and when do you see your comeback happening?
So if everything goes really, really great, I would love to fight around end of May or June, you know, so like 6 to 7 months, something like that. And that's a quick turnaround for having a baby, but my body really recovers very well. And I got stem cell treatments in both of my shoulders. So I'm really hoping that my shoulders heal really well and I come back and I'm even stronger. But I actually haven't thought about who I'd like to fight because there's been so many changes in people's weight classes. Some people have gone up to 45, some people have gone down to 25, and I don't really know who's moving back. So I have to look at my weight class and figure out who's still there, who's still around.
How big did you get when you were pregnant? Were you at 170, 180?
Yeah, about a little over 180. Oh, no, yeah, a little, about 180. I think that's when I went in. So, and now I'm 9 pounds over my walking around weight.
Wow, so you're 150, 146, 145?
No, so, yeah, 140, about 146 or 147 is what I normally walked around at, and so I'm at 156 right now.
Nice. Good for you. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. Now, was it hard not seeing those huge muscles in your back and your arms?
Actually, it was my abs. I look at my abs and I'm like, where are you? I miss you. But even though they're slowly coming back, the top two are already starting to tighten down and come back. It's really just if you did yoga forever and just really, really, really stretched everything. And then you decided to come back and start powerlifting. Your body's just going to respond to what you ask of it. So as soon as I can ask it of it, my body it'll respond back. And I think that I'm mostly confident because my body responded super well after my first kid. So I was pretty shocked.
Ween Dog, any questions for the great Sarah McMahon?
No questions. I want to say I'm a big fan. I love you. We're the most beautiful women in MMA. And, that's it, dude.
All right.
I think you're a monster.
Oh, I like I like this guy. Thank you.
Ooh, man. I'm also 6 foot two. I'm 22 years old, and
you lost her at 22, bro. Come on, man.
That's right.
You're 22. They're right. Don't tell me your age.
Yeah, you
messed up. Don't tell. Because you know what? Younger guys, they're like younger women. Whenever you're a little older guy and you're a little wiser, they really look nice on the outside. They really look nice. They're really nice for about 15-20 minutes, and then you're like, oh my God, what am I doing? I'm a cradle robber. This is wrong.
Yeah,
that's the plan. Wrong.
Well, I'm like, I'm not going to take you seriously, but you still look nice. Yeah,
yeah. It's like, if you could just stop talking.
I know. I do. I'll talk to a 22-year-old, and I'm not even like super far from 22. 27, but I mean, it's still like it's a huge difference.
Have you ever hooked up with a fighter or a wrestler? Preacher?
No, I do. I messed with a bodybuilder. She was a bodybuilder. Yeah. And it was kind of weird, man, because she was, you know.
Right?
You know, just, you know. It was,
a little dude-ish?
Well, it's. I'm not a dude. But she, I mean, her,
were you more excited by her dude-like qualities or less?
Well, first off, I don't think it's dude-like qualities. It's not like she had a penis, bro. Like, you know what I mean?
She had everything else.
She was just. Just because you have muscles doesn't make
but
you.
But that isn't having muscles. That's having an extreme amount of muscles.
She had, like, Dwight Howard type shoulders. And then it was like.
Right. Wait, you just compared her to Dwight Howard, bro. I know. Okay? You just made my fucking point.
You're right, bro.
Yeah.
So what was it like banging Dwight Howard?
I've never messed with a fighter.
Yeah, but you would.
Oh, for sure, man. I think fighters are. Yeah.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
But Sarah said she could ever be with a guy that she could beat up.
So. Oh,
oh okay. I'm out.
What's your height?
We had a discussion this morning about how if Chad got his arms around anybody's neck, he could totally kill everyone in the family. I was like, that's if I'm not gouging your eyes out first. But,
wow.
Yeah.
Ooh, a little Krav Maga.
If I could beat Chad, I would not be with him.
It's funny she said she wouldn't be.
I'm sorry. You're real nice.
This is what you guys talk about, like, during breakfast? Sounds like a great breakfast conversation.
She said she wouldn't be with someone she can beat up. I wouldn't be with someone that can beat me up. So, I mean,
yeah.
I'm going to date some girl that I don't know. Yeah. If she get mad, if I'm safe,
yeah. I would be with a girl.
Except
that
for that Dwight Howard.
I would not be with a girl that can beat me up. But I mean, I feel like most women are fine against. I feel fine against most dudes. I feel like if I see a guy and he's my size, I feel confident. If he trains, then I know I'm gonna get whooped. But if I train enough to know that some dude my size, I feel fine.
Ween Dog, would you be with a girl that can beat you up?
There's no such thing.
Oh, come
on. Oh, man.
Come on. Yeah.
Sarah, come kick this guy's ass.
Yeah. Come on. I'm a ween dog. Come on.
Yeah, okay. I would hook up with a girl that could beat me up. I mean.
I'm sure I have.
Oh, you said hook up.
I'm sure I have. I just didn't bother to test that part of the theory.
Yeah. Pretty much every girl you've been with.
I was going to say, I've gone out with a lot of women a lot taller than me, so yeah. I'm pretty sure some of them could have whipped my ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Sarah, good luck with everything. Keep up the great work. Thank you for coming on the podcast.
You're the best.
No problem.
Take care. Bye bye.
That was all right, bye.
That was Sarah McMahon.
Yeah,
that was awesome. She's cool.
Yeah, she's always a cool chick. She's very cool.
That's dope. That's
hey, can we talk for one second about the football games?
She's actually one of
that.
Never mind.
What was that?
She's just she's definitely one of the prettier fighters.
Yeah.
She had a great butt too.
Yeah,
she has some manly.
And we've talked about that a lot on this podcast. And she's talked about it on this podcast.
What'd you say?
She has like the manly, like muscular arms.
It's good for hand jobs, though. It's like three strokes and squirt.
Oh. Of course, that squirt from your dick being ripped off and the blood flowing out the hole. Three strokes and squirt.
So the football games. How is that not illegal?
Oh, my God. Listen, the refs. And here's the thing. I was pulling for the Rams because, obviously the Cowboys are my team. But them being out now, I live in Los Angeles, have for 12 years. I was like, okay, you know what? I'll go with the Rams. But that's not how you want to win.
No.
You don't want to win on a blatant, bad, non-call.
What do you think happened? Why did they not call that?
I think because the refs were, I think the gamblers got to them.
Really?
Yeah, I think they wanted
a 3 points.
They would have
made it that close, though.
Well, the spread was 3, and that would have put the ball in the 1 with 4 tries of the goal, which means they probably would have got a touchdown and won by 4 points. Now, there's some that argue that they would have just taken a knee, run out the clock, and kicked the field goal, but I don't think that's true. You run
the
ball 3 times.
The refs would have made it that close, though?
And what's that?
The refs would have made it that close?
Yes, the refs made it. It ended up being a 3-point game, which makes it a push. Okay. So they, which kills all the parlay. So a lot of money goes into the, into their hands that way. So what, so I, to me, it was these two refs are obviously paid off by the gamblers.
Fuck.
Because that, that was such a, and everybody said it. Everybody's been saying it all day, all night. It was the worst non-call in the history of the NFL, particularly when you're talking about going to the Super Bowl. You're talking about Breeze legacy. You're talking about all these other factors, all ruined by the refs not calling the most obvious interference, plus a legal hit to the head. I mean, there were multiple calls that should have been made, and they didn't make any of them. And then they got together and talked about it and still didn't fucking make the call. It was so egregious, and you know,
hey, man, you think that was obvious? I don't know. I think we get away with it.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty much. Exactly. Like, let's just let it go. We didn't call it. Let's just walk away and see what happens. Yeah. And ultimately, that's not how the Rams want to get to the Super Bowl. You know, I think it's bad juju going into the game because you're not the team that's supposed to be there. It's supposed to be the Saints.
I just really don't think that TJ can be sued on, but whatever. I don't think he can.
Well, now, what about the Pacquiao Broner? Do you see that one?
No.
Oh, I mean, I wanted to see that.
And it just seemed like Pacquiao was destroying him the whole fight.
Now, what is it about Broner that, like, after the fight, he says, the hood knows I won?
No, the hood doesn't, man.
Like, he speaks for the whole... Like,
no, they don't.
Like, man, what's going on? It seems like the hood doesn't know he won.
I don't know how he's...
that makes no sense.
Yeah, I don't know how he's really...
That's like saying that's some kind of, like, you know, moral victory, but there's no moral victory in fighting.
If he wasn't so charismatic...
You think he's charismatic, really?
Well, charismatic as far as like him being, you know, he's kind of funny. I don't care, but he's funny. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, he's funny and he's just like, he's charismatic. So if he didn't have personality, then I don't think he'd be where he's at right now.
Yeah, that's, well, and that's become a big part of the fight
game.
He's
also a guy.
Much like in stand-up comedy, so much of it has become about the tweet game and the Instagram game and the YouTube game and all these other things that have nothing to do with what we're doing on stage. A lot of it's become the same thing with fighting. You know, it's become about the trash talk and the media coverage and getting people to talk about you.
I think he's also a guy that, you're like, what if? Like, that? There's a guy that could have been one of the best. Because natural talent, Broner has amazing natural talent.
He does have natural talent. He doesn't pull the trigger. It's weird.
Well, that's the thing. He's had the shots. He's gotten the opportunities. And he hasn't been able to cash in.
I'm going to see y'all later.
All right, see you, man.
Good day. Thanks for stopping by. Yeah.
Hey, good luck with those finals.
Jared Gordon.
I can't wait for him to do
that. I hope you win that shit, man.
Oh, man, me too.
All right.
Thanks, man. Thanks for coming. Thank you. Take care.
Have a good one, boys.
All right, we're trying to call this guy Jared Gordon, who's fighting this week in the main event at LFA. If he picks up the phone. If not, we'll talk a little bit more. Then I like that guy. Creatures.
No, he's a good guy. You
nice
can tell.
Him to stop by.
He's fine.
It's kind of random, but you know, yes. He made it.
Hello, is this Jared Gordon?
Hey. Yeah, it's Jared. How's
hey,
it
what's going on? You're on the MMA Roasted Podcast.
How are you, bro? How are you?
Good, man. Good, good, good. You got a big fight this weekend, right?
Next weekend, but yes, sir. I can't wait.
Nice, man. Nice. So I heard you've been killing it right now. You're the number one fighter in Georgia?
Yes, sir.
Nice.
Number one in Georgia, number seven in the country right now, baby.
Seven in the whole world, the whole country. Nice.
Yes, sir.
There you go. And your record's what, 10 and 2?
12 and 2.
Even better. You won two fights since I asked you. And so tell me about yourself. Where are you from? Where'd you grow up?
I was born in Birmingham, Alabama, but man, really, I've grown up here in Georgia, man. I lived in Florida for about 6 years, but I've been here the last 20, so I'm a Georgia man. I'm from Georgia.
Wow. And then did you wrestle in high school or jiu-jitsu? What got you into fighting?
Man, I wish I would wrestle in high school, man, but sadly, my mom thought it was gay, man, so she wouldn't let me participate. I wish I did, man. My game is so much better right now. But I first got into MMA because I was at my dad's house, who still lives in Florida. I first saw the fight between BJ Penn and Matt Hughes, you know, and like when I first saw this, like the world stopped for me, you know. I was like, whoa, it was like a calling. And 2 years later, when I was 17, I hit up the NFC promoter here in Georgia to ask if I could fight for him. He was like, hey, you got any experience? Where gym do you train out of? Blah blah blah. And I was like, nope. No gym, no training experience, just street fights. Let me fight for you, bro. I messed somebody up, and he sent me to Fleet Gentry, and I was training with him for like 7 years. So that's how we got into MMA.
So he sent you to the gym. He said, actually learn how to fight.
Yes, sir.
And then how did?
I'm so glad he did, man, because I don't got my ass whooped if he didn't.
Now, how did those first couple training sessions go?
Man, I got my ass whooped. We did, my first class was Muay Thai, actually. And yeah, man, my instructor, I think his name was Paul Chambers. He showed me what a knee was, and he demonstrated on me. And so I felt what a knee was like. And instantly, I remember falling to the ground. I just couldn't breathe. I was like, like, it was started convulsing for some fucking reason, man. But yeah, man, I loved it. My first jiu-jitsu class was with my former jiu-jitsu coach. His name was Fleek Gentry. He was a brown belt at the time, and he won Pan Ams as a purple belt. And yeah, within 7 minutes, he tapped my ass 8 times. 4 was with the triangle choke, so that's why that's my favorite submission right now.
Wow. So you go there, you get your ass kicked right away. Do you think about quitting and say, maybe this isn't for me?
Yeah, there actually was a time when I thought about quitting, because when I started training, I was in high school, and I had a job, and I was training, and my grades started to slip, and I wasn't getting as much money as I wanted. So I had a decision. It was like, should I? I like want something had to go, and I, believe it or not, actually tried to drop the gym first. And I, luckily, was like the membership. They wouldn't let me cancel my membership, so I had to stay with the gym, basically.
Wow.
So that's why I'm here right now, man. Luckily, they wouldn't let me cancel, man.
That's amazing.
I promise, I think that was God, bro. That's why I'm here now.
Now it looks like you're in the shower right now. Are you taking a dump? What's going on?
I'm in the bathroom, man, because this is where I get the most light in my house, man.
All good. I was like, you might want to wipe yourself right now.
Until we hear him go, until he goes, yeah, all of a sudden he's going to be like, I'll tell you who I like in the next fight. I like the guy that's going to be going up.
I got skin to just flash you.
Now, when was your first, do you have any amateur experience?
Yeah, I went 8-1 as an amateur. I lost my amateur debut to a guy named Tony Davis. That was very heartbreaking. But, man, like, luckily, I'm stubborn. You know what I mean? I don't accept defeat very well. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I back in the gym harder than ever, and I won my next 8 amateurs, and I went 6-0 in professional before I lost again. So what is that, 14 fights? I went on a 14-fight streak.
Wow.
Before ever losing.
Now, that's amazing. I mean, your whole story is amazing. Now, how have you been able to kind of support yourself through your fight career?
I'm sorry, say one more time.
Have you had to have a day job or pick up odd jobs just to make money?
Yeah, for sure. I've been a bouncer multiple times. You know what I mean? I'll be in Atlanta, mainly the dive bar, be bouncing up there. And yeah, like, and I'm a personal trainer now too, you know what I mean? So I don't have to, what'd you call it? Do too many odd jobs anymore, but I still bounce every here and there. But mainly, I'm just a trainer. You know, I teach a couple of classes. If people want private lessons, I show them how to be. I show them how to kick ass.
That's awesome. And do you live with your parents? Do you live by yourself, or who do you live with?
Actually, I just went through a very dark part of my life, and it actually did force me. I'm back living with my mom's right now. But I promise, in March, by after this LFA fight, I'm sure I'm gonna get my own spot again.
Okay. Now, what was the dark part? What happened? You can't say that. I mean, there's going to be so many questions people are going to have. Did you murder somebody? Yeah. Did you bad breakup? Was it a cocaine addiction?
It was a jumble of things. Earlier around this time last year, I got caught with some drugs on me. And yeah, so that happened. I finally had to deal with that. And then, I had a very bad breakup. And yeah, man, it's just crazy, man. A lot of shit happened last year. 2018 was my growing year for sure.
Well, listen, man, you know, get it all out of the way now, because when you get to the UFC or Bellator, and then all of a sudden the real money or more money comes in, I won't say the real money, more money comes in, and all, you know, that's not when you want to have these problems, you know,
No.
You know, get it all out of the way early. So
100%. And luckily I'm in a position now where like, I can't fuck up anymore. You know what I mean? So man, it was a lesson. You know what I mean? It was a deep, good lesson that I've learned, and I'm in this position where I can't mess up anymore, and I like it that way. You know what I mean? Keeps me on my toes. I have my friends and family always checking in on me, making sure I'm doing right. So, man, I'm not going to mess up anymore. I've learned my lesson, and just I'm looking forward to just fighting on the big stage and just start beating the shit out of people.
That's awesome. Now, you're a brown belt in jiu-jitsu, right?
Yes, sir.
Brown belt.
I got my brown belt last year from my old coach, Philippe Gentry. Like I said, if it goes to the ground, I dare somebody to take me down again, man. I'll tear their ass up.
Yeah, I mean, what, you're on a 5-fight winning streak?
Yes, sir.
Five.
Yeah, 5-fight winning streak, 3 fights, finishes straight in a row.
So now, are you the main event now, Faye?
Man, I was when I was fighting Kyle Stewart, but he got the UFC call and he just fought this last Saturday.
Yes.
And now I'm fighting a new guy named Stephen Newell. They just said I'm on the main card. I don't believe I'm main event anymore. I hope I am. I don't even settle for co-main, you know what I mean? But I'm definitely still on the main card. I'll definitely be fighting on TV.
Well, listen, I'm looking at your thing right now. You're 12-2. You're 170. Your nickname is Night Train.
Yes, sir. True, motherfucker.
There you go. Night Train, which, you know, also says you went through a very dark time of your life. That makes sense. You look very black to me. Here we go. And you've won. You got your last fight, you won by flying knee in 7 seconds, the third round.
It's fucking, yes, sir.
Then you got, you won in the first, you waited the last minute. You 1 minute and 7 seconds in the first round? No. Then you won with 4 minutes, 59 seconds. So 1 second left in the first round. You stopped the guy. Then you won a unanimous decision, rear naked choke. Your last fight, your last loss was to Julian Williams. That was a unanimous decision. Was this a bad night?
Man, he just had a great game plan for me. You know what I mean? And he showed me what I needed to work on. And that's why, like, he took me down and I just could not get up. You know what I mean? He has such great pressure. Everything I tried to do to get up, he had to counter for it. And like I said, it was just, and he actually broke my nose. I don't know if y'all can see it on the camera, man, but my nose is crooked from that night,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, I thought so maybe it was the cocaine that you were taking, or, you know. But, yeah, exactly. I'm stuttering.
Now, I'm hoping this next fight, this guy breaks my nose so they can fix it and, you know, line it right this next time, you know?
That's awesome. But, that's awesome.
Yeah, Jimmy beat me up, man. He had a great game plan for me, and he taught me a very valuable lesson that's not going to happen again.
And then you beat Micah Miller, who's Cole Miller's brother. Micah Miller's a tough guy.
Michael's a tough guy. I couldn't finish him. His brother doesn't like me very much, man. Like, it's funny, if you watch the fight, after I try to shake his hand, he smacked my hand away. It's like, all right, dude, whatever. Wow. I understand. I beat your brother. Be a little salty.
That's weird. That's crazy. Yeah, Cole, yeah, that's weird. So, I mean, I got you 12-2. Man, I mean, I think you're one fight away from the big show.
I hope so, man. Hey, from your lips to God's ears, bro.
Honestly. Now, do you have a girlfriend now or no?
No. Like I said, I went through a terrible breakup last year, but right now I'm just learning who I am. Getting a lot of side chicks right now. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not doing relationships right now, bro. I let the girl know immediately. I'm just, this is just for play. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, Atlanta, though, I mean, oh my God, the women in Atlanta are just, are you more into white girls, black girls, Asian girls, or anything goes?
Man, actually, I have no preference. I like them all, bro, but what's funny is black girls don't tend to like me, man.
Really?
I don't know why.
Why is that?
I have never, never dated a black chick. It's weird.
Never?
Never, man. Like, I'm a black dude who likes rock music, you know what I mean? Like, back in high school, my nickname was Oreo. You know what I mean? Black on the outside, white on the inside.
That's the most racist shit I've ever heard in my life. What high school did you go to? Like a Klan university? It's ridiculous. I hear you though. Black girls. I don't know.
He likes stuff where the white girls are.
But why? Oh, that's why.
Yeah.
So you go with the white? Yeah.
I date a lot of white girls. Maybe they're just saying I'm dating a lot of white girls. I don't understand. I don't know.
Yeah. That's cool. Well, nice.
It sounds like it's a good time to be you. That's what that sounds like.
Yeah, really, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you prefer black girls or white girls?
There's a lot of watching come through the gym, bro, and I'm just like, yep, I want that one.
Oh, really? Now, yeah. Now, as a trainer, do you ever hook up with the girls that you train?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know you do.
It's very simple. You know what I mean? Plus, they give me their number, and yeah, sometimes I'll just be like, a Friday night, I'll be here alone. I'm like, I'm gonna try. I'm gonna text her, see what happens, and it always goes over smoothly, man. You know what I mean? Like, they're like, I'm surprised you didn't ask me sooner. I'm like, oh, I didn't know. All right, I got you. You know what I mean? So, yeah, usually whenever I'm, like, bored on a Friday or Saturday night, I'll take my chances and try to hook up my clients in. It always works out.
But do they ever get, like, is it weird afterwards that they want a relationship and you don't, and then they're back in the gym, or they see you training somebody else?
Yeah. They, man, I don't understand it. They always want a relationship, man. Like, I'm not a dick, you know what I mean? Like, I have one. I try not to be one, you know what I mean? But, like, I let them know immediately. I'm like, I don't want a relationship right now. I'm like I say it just like that, you know, like straightforward, no BS, no playing, no games. But they always want to be like, they always want to, what you call it, a relationship. Man, I saw the funniest fucking thing ever, man. It was a Toy Story meme. It was saying when your side chick starts talking relationship, and it shows when he's talking to Buzz, like, you're just a toy. Like, that's kind of what it is. You know what I mean? Like, know your lane. I'm not trying to do a relationship right now. You're just a toy for me right
you
now.
Go to
just
have fun. Like,
listen, it's one of those, you know, it sounds like it's one of those you break it, you bought it situations.
Yeah, like buyer's remorse.
Yeah. You're wrecking that shit, and they're like, listen, you got to buy this now because you've ruined it for everybody
else.
Isn't
that going to get in the way of your memberships? If you keep banging the members and they don't come back because they don't want to see you or it's awkward.
That keeps them coming back.
Yeah.
It's usually awkward, but like, I'm awkward, but I always still talk to them, make sure they're cool. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, a lot of them want relationships, but I'm they don't stop coming to the gym, so it's not that bad.
Do you have them just working on like squats? Like just for
say
you?
What?
Do you have them just working on like squats for an hour? It's like just for you?
No, man, I sit underneath them while they do their squats. You know what I mean? Like,
nice. That is cool. Exactly.
That's awesome. I love this guy. Well, listen, I can't wait for your fight. So LFA a week from Friday?
Yes, sir. LFA February 1st. Can't wait, bro. Still on the main card. I'm fighting a guy named Steven Newell. So he's 9-0. He's going to be a tough guy. Never been finished, but I'm going to be the first one go out there and fuck him up.
Yeah, you were. According to MMA Junkie, you were the main event. You were the main event. Also on that card, Seth Pazinski's on that card. Seth Pazinski. He used to be in the UFC. Really, really good fighter. He's fighting Daniel Madrid. Kyler Phillips on that card. Amika Ifakandu is on the card. Kelvin Natividad against Andrew Perez. I don't know. This looks like an awesome card. Phoenix, Arizona, February 1st. LFA on Access TV. I have access.
Yeah,
to me.
Access. Yeah,
I will be watching. Pat Miletich is going to be commenting on your
fight. Better be watching, damn! It's going to be awesome, man. My post fight interview is going to be fucking amazing. You better watch.
Hey, give us a shout out.
Will you give us a shout out?
Definitely, bro. 100%.
MMA roasted.
MMA roasted.
And to all your side chicks. Yeah. Shout out to all your side chicks.
Man, to my side chicks, bro. I got y'all, man. I'm a fucking pull out a list, man, and start naming bitches off.
There you go. Exactly. Just like an Oscar award speech.
Put the music over him. It's a list.
Yeah. Get me off, you know what I mean? Like, get me off the microphone. Yeah.
I love it. I love it. Well, thanks a lot, Jared Gooden. You're the best. Where can people follow you?
You can find me on Instagram, Night Train MMA23. You can find me on Twitter, capital J, capital G, Night Train. Facebook, Jared Gooden. Follow me, guys. Like, see my life through MMA.
All right. Take
love
care,
it.
Man. Take care.
Thank you, bro. Y'all take care.
All right.
All right. That was Jared Gooden. I like that guy.
Cool dude.
Yeah. How funny is that?
I like
guy?
That he admits to banging his clients. Not many trainers will admit to that.
That's why I have a Peloton for my wife.
Yeah, exactly. Keep her in the house.
Fuck that.
Yeah. It's my new trainer, DeAndre.
Training with Night Train.
Yeah, Night Train. My new trainer, Night Train.
No, you're training with fucking.
No, I'm getting you a Peloton. You're training right here in the living room. Right,
day caboose is where you're fucking.
Nope. So while you were on that call, I look over here at the Ween Dog. And he's laughing his ass off at some shit on his phone.
Yeah.
Of course.
Something was getting him good. What was happening?
Well, my friend who works at CVS, he sent me a Snapchat.
CBS or CVS?
Oh, CVS.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I thought he said CBS at first.
With a hard
friend.
V. With
okay,
a hard V.
Most successful
okay.
friend.
Yeah.
Yes.
Go on. He noticed, he's closing up. This is from last night. He was closing up. Other store, and he noticed the last customer was like a very fairly attractive woman. She went to the bathroom and she left. So at the end of the night, he has to go clean the bathrooms. When he went to the bathroom, he saw that the girl had diarrhea all over the toilet.
Oh,
like not in the toilet,
yeah,
like all over the toilet in the walls. And she put her diarrhea underwear, like she stuck it on the walls.
Yeah. Is your friend 14?
Oh, so she had an emergency situation happen.
He just sent me a Snapchat of the video that he took, and it's just funny.
That's vulgar. Yeah. But you know what? That just goes to show you, everybody shits. Yeah. The hottest girls, everybody.
Yeah.
I've
never seen my wife shit, yeah?
Well, I promise she does.
I'm sure she does, but I've never caught her. Have you caught Summer?
Caught her. What do you mean?
Like I'm walking in on her.
Gotcha,
like,
bitch.
What is that?
I'm not trying to
I never
catch
walked
her.
In on her.
I've gone in the bathroom after she's taken a shit. It's been quite evident that she's shitting.
I haven't done that. Like, she must, I don't understand.
Oh my God. She must, like, courtesy flush it. And I love it. They're married with a baby and she's still hiding her shits from me.
Yeah.
She's never said, like, I have to go take a shit really quick.
Never once.
Wow.
Wow. It must be bad. That must be brutal.
I don't know.
Listen, if she's hiding it still to the point where she thinks she'll divorce her if you find out.
She knows I won't divorce her.
I obviously, you don't know because you've never smelled her shit. That's craziness.
Yeah.
Well, I live with my girl and it's almost unavoidable. I mean, yeah. She smells my shits.
Yeah.
So, and I've smelled her shits.
By the way, you know Summer's the name of a new Muppet?
Oh, that's nice.
You know that? They have a Muppet named Summer. She's a penguin.
Sweet.
Yeah. Every time I see her, I think about you.
And they spell it with a U or with an O? It's probably with a U.
Probably the U, yeah.
That's the American spelling.
Yeah.
She has the German spelling.
Yeah.
Soma.
That's right. Yes, the Soma family. She's very German.
So what do you got coming up?
With her marzipan choice.
You can go follow me on Twitch while she plays Fortnite for about 10 hours a day, dude. Twitch.tv/weendog. You know what's crazy? I have so many MMA roasted fans that come in and talk to me while I stream. It's really cool.
That makes sense, actually.
Yeah, we're talking about fights.
Yeah, who the fuck else is following?
Yeah.
No, but like, what are these fans? What, you have nothing to do? What are you guys doing?
Yeah.
Like, fucking get hobbies.
It's awesome. Yeah, people donate money.
Thank you for the support, fans. Any support that you have, I gladly appreciate.
Oh, I love it, dude.
So
yeah,
that's it.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And you, Greg?
I'm still shooting the movie for another week. That's all this week. I'll be finishing that out, and then I'll be in town for most of February. I'll be going up to Seattle to do the underground.
You read the part I wrote for you.
What's that?
You read the part that I wrote for you?
No.
Oh, you're gonna like it.
Okay, cool.
You're gonna like it.
You didn't write it for me.
No, but trust me, there was about 10 people that I thought of for the role. And you're the first choice.
But it's named after someone we both know.
Yeah, of course.
So it was clearly written for him.
Well, not well. Just read it.
But I'll read it. Okay. Oh, of course. Listen, okay. I want to do it.
Yeah,
listen,
we have guys.
Have I ever turned you down for a project?
Is the role for CB Gold in Adam's
Life? No, here's
the
news. Basically, the news is I am finally shooting Pinned. Okay? Everyone says, where's the movie Pinned? Like I said, we didn't raise the $500,000 you need for a movie. Okay? But raise enough to shoot a pilot. So we're going to have a pilot, and then from that pilot, I'm going to cut a sizzle together. And from that sizzle, I'm going to pitch it as a TV series.
There okay, you go.
So
sure.
This is the pilot we're shooting, and Greg's going to be in it, and there's a really fun role for him.
Can I be an extra, like in the background?
Yes.
Can I be like a high school kid?
High school kid.
Like in the background.
Well, you know, but that actually would make sense, because they always cast these people who look way older than high school kids.
It would be middle school kids.
As high school kids.
Oh, middle school?
Because,
I could be a teacher or something.
No, but there's
I can't be around middle schoolers. That's a violation of my parole.
There's a strip club scene.
I'm kidding.
You could be in the strip club.
Oh, okay. Cool.
And also there's a comedy club scene, and there's a bar scene.
Let me know, dude. I'd love to do that.
Yeah, it's the same guy.
I'd be the same dude.
Same guy, just in everyone. It's like, who is that? That's the Ween dog.
Fake mustache and a hat.
The Weens.
Yeah, 1,000%. Dude. It'd be awesome.
The Weens is in there.
So Portland, Oregon, this Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I will be at Harvey's Comedy Club. Harvey's Comedy Club this weekend. February 1st, me and Jeremy Piven are at the Treasure Island Casino in Las Vegas. February 1st. Come see us. And also, March, when's the John Jones fight? March 2nd?
I'm not exactly sure.
Well, the night before, I will be at the, also in Las Vegas, at the Dirty at 30 at South Point.
You going to the show or the UFC?
I'm home, maybe. Maybe
awesome.
I'll go to that.
That'd be cool, dude.
So come see me the night before at the South Point. And also, if you buy stuff off Amazon, go to adamhunter.com first. Then go to Amazon, download my CD, or you can get it on Pandora or even on
Spotify
at Adam Hunter Still Broke. You could listen to it there. Thank you guys so much for listening to the show. Take care. Have a good week.
Түүний сонс тө хөгжим дөрвөлэн. Та дас тоотан дөрвөлэн мөрөлэн.